Jesus died that he might be resurrected, right? But it's when we meet the resurrected Jesus that we die. We realize that when we meet eternal life, that there's something about that. And remember Isaiah? What happened to Isaiah when he saw the Lord in his glory? It says he fell on his feet as dead. He fell, boom. He went down as dead because he, and then he got up in, resurrection life. And then he said, woe is me. So I am unclean, and I live among a people that is unclean. And so it's through resurrection life that we realize just how dead we were. And as we step into that, then we learn how to walk in that. The Bible calls it mortify. All right. It's funny because mortify, we use now as a term for being afraid, right? I'm mortified. We don't hear that as much as we used to be. But I'm so scared. What happens? You get so scared that you freeze. Like, it just freeze because you're so scared. So in Colossians 3:3, it says that you are dead, or you have died, and your life is hidden in with Christ in God. And so when Christ, your life, appears, you also will appear with him in glory. And so now we're hidden. And John, in the book of Revelation 1, verse 17, it says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet dead. Dead. As though I was. That's included by the translator. But I felt dead. I was dead. And then he said, what? Fear not. So when God speaks a resurrection word to us, he takes that death and he brings this new life. Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I died. And so we enter into Christ's death with the fear of God. The fear of God puts us in the death of Christ, and therefore we walk in newness of life. So we're presently dead. When you got saved, you were given not only your birth certificate. What else did you get? Your death certificate. You got them both at the same time, which is pretty cool. And when we're born from above, that's our new birth certificate. We're born from above. So now we have a new home, a new family. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, it talks about two things the devil tries to do to the bride in Revelation 12. Remember the woman that gets attacked by the creature, the dragon, the devil? It says that he tries to persecute her, to kill her. And then what was given to the woman? Wings. Wings of a great eagle, not just a little wee eagle, but a great eagle, a really, 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 actually a very big, truly, but I sound like Trump when I do that. Now I'm going to say a really, really big eagle, a huge eagle. No, I don't want to do that. So anyway, and what does it say? She was given the wings of an eagle so that she might be hidden. We are hidden in Christ. When we get saved, we get the wings of an eagle so that we can be kept hidden from the devil. Hey, I like that. How many of you are glad that the devil can't get you because you got wings that you didn't have before? Come on. And not only that, then he tried the flood technique. He tried flooding to destroy the woman. And what did the earth do? The earth itself opened up to swallow the attack of the enemy. So God has two very powerful ways to protect us. Did you know that? We don't have to fear. This is where I'm sharing exactly what the Lord showed me. He showed me this reason. We never have to fear the devil. Why? We've got wings, and the earth will open up and swallow whatever the enemy tries to throw at us. Come on. We don't have to walk in fear. We don't have to live in fear. There is a God who can literally will open up the earth to swallow the floods. So what is our part? Now, this is where I'm going to start. What do we do now? We've been given our birth certificate. We've been given our death certificate. What's our job? This is where I want to start, with verse 5. So let's go to verse 5 of Colossians 3. All right. Put to death, that's what we do now. Therefore, what is earthly in you? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these, you too once walked when you were living in them. So the first thing we do is we put to death our practices, the things that we do. And that word earthly is like what's upon the earth. In other words, it's the part of our personality. And I want you to think about this, that the three parts of our personality, the three parts of who we are. We are physically alive, right? We're physically alive. That's our biological process. And then God says that we have a spirit, that we are spirit. That's the word for pneuma, or breath. That's our breath. That is the part of us that is from God. When God breathed into us, he breathed into us the what? The breath of life. But there's also a part of us that is like an animal. It's like an animal. That's where we connect with the other animals. And that is the word psyche or soul. That's the part of us that is just acting natural. Now, I want you to know something, that all natural, as far as what the kingdom is all about, isn't all good. Let me say that again. All natural is not all good. All natural needs to be put to death. That's the part that needs to be put to death. The things that come naturally to us. Some of the things that come naturally to us are not of the Spirit. They're not of the Spirit. And we're not talking about putting to death our physical flesh. We're not talking about that. Okay? We're not talking about suffering in such a way that makes our physical body die. Okay? It is so that the actual natural impulses of our humanity that connect us with the animals. Okay? So I love this. How many of you love beautiful animals? How many of you love the Disney movies where there's these lovely lions and Simba and all that kind of stuff, right? Well, I just saw something that just would shatter everybody's fantasy, because it's a fantasy. This lioness had her cubs. She birthed her cubs, and a few days later she said, I guess I'll just eat them now. So she ate her lion, her cubs. And everybody like, oh! Why do people freak out about that? Why? Because we know better. We're not an animal. Mother lions are not Simba. They do stuff like this. It's their animal nature. It's their psyche. And we are connected in our animal nature to do bad stuff. And it's up to the Holy Spirit in us, the new creation person, to take our psyche and kill the bad stuff in our psyche. We need to mortify. Well, what kind of stuff? Sexual immorality, impurity, passion. That means being driven by your emotions, not by your brain. And I know I do stupid stuff. I call it stupid stuff. That's how I term it, okay? That means when I'm not thinking properly by my spirit. My spirit's not thinking, and I'm not using my head like the way God intended it to. And I do stuff out of feelings and emotions, and I say things that I regret. You know, keep your words sweet. You never know when you're going to have to eat them, right? I mean, I have little sayings to help remind me. But it's the Holy Spirit that's the voice of God your spirit that God has given you to kill the things in you that need to die. Notice it says put to death. Is that past tense? Past tense or present tense or future tense? It's present. So what do? You kill yourself by loving. You love. That's how you do it. You love. The act of love will kill the animal nature in you that wants to act like that lion that wants to eat her kids. Or the deer that wants to eat your tomatoes. Okay? That's the part that needs to go. And it's called idolatry. Isn't that interesting? That we have a tendency, human nature, animal nature, tends to create idols. And what is the first commandment? Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. For I am a jealous God. So, idol worshipers don't necessarily have to have little things up on the wall with little incense in front of it like we see. Idols could be... Now, idols can be you serving yourself with your money. It could be you serving yourself with your sexual appetites. It could be you serving yourself with your unbridled emotions. It could be you serve... I'm just looking right here. It could be serving yourself with what? Desiring things that don't belong to you. These are things that he's speaking to Christians. Wait a minute. I thought he was speaking to heathen here, Ronnie. But what's he talking? Is he talking to Christians or heathen? Yeah, he's talking to Christians. And the first commandment says, it says, I am the Lord, I'm a jealous God. And I know I've taught you this before, but I'm going to tell you again. With love, there's either love or hate. Period. If you love God, who do you hate? Everything else. Not just the devil, but everything. Everything. Jesus said in Luke 14, you have to hate who? Father, mother, relatives. And just to make sure you understand what he means by this, even your own life. You got to hate it. Now, does that mean that you trash talk yourself all the time? No, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean? What does it mean to love God? And what does it mean to hate everything else? It means that if you love someone, that means there is no in between. If I really love her, that means I hate every other person, including me. If I really love her, that means that she comes first. And I don't like kind of love her. There isn't, God did not say in the first commandment, thou shalt like the Lord your God. See, there are some things that we have in life that are, you're either alive, they're binary. They're just plain old binary. It's either the switch is on or the switch is off. There's no in between. Love or hate, period. Now, hate in this respect simply means you don't love them. That's all. And if there's a choice, you always choose for God. That's what it means. It doesn't mean that you don't wish people bad stuff. Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that. It just means you love, which means it's a total, total, total commitment with nothing left out. This is so very important to understand this, because when Jesus says about hating your father or mother, doesn't that like make you go, does not compute, right? Right? In the same commandments, it says to honor your father and mother. Ah. Right? So don't make an idol of them, but you better well honor them. And guess what people have a hard time doing? They don't honor things very well. So you hate them, but you honor them. Doesn't that, this is what the Bible says. Hate them, but honor them. In other words, don't put them first in your life, but honor them. Honor them. Honor your father and mother, and therefore you will live long. You will live long, and it'll be well with you. This is so important, because people will try to take the Bible and twist it and try to, you know, do stupid stuff with it. Say, why follow God when God says to hate? You see what I'm saying? They're just trying to mess. They're just trying to twist the word of God. And the word of God, nah. Don't be that way. Let's tell the truth. So Jesus said, honor and then love. For I am a jealous God. Important. Why? This is very important to talk to Americans right now. We need to hear this as Americans. Because when I said I love her, that means I hate everybody else. Why? Because of the kind of love I have for her. Does that make sense? It's the kind of love that is only for one person. It is a monotheistic, if you will, love. It's a monogamy love. See, and a lot of people in America, they don't like that. They disagree with it. Why can't you love a lot of gods? Why can't we just say it's okay? Well, is it okay? You know, everybody, you know, and they will say, well, is it okay for, you know, your wife or your husband to just goof around? You know what I mean? Well, they'll have a hard time with that, but they can't apply the same principle to God. It's the same thing. And so, like I said, it's not like you wish someone harm. It's just that the kind of love you have cannot be shared by anybody else. And the kind of love we have with Jesus, the kind of love we have with Him, the kind of love is so great it can't be shared because He gave us everything. We just got to hit this because we got to understand what it means to put something to death. This is what we need to stand for because the other stuff is sand and it will wash away. It will wash away. But if we stand with these values, guess what's going to happen? The storms are going to come and we're going to be standing and the other stuff's going to be gone. It's going to be gone. You'll find out how much that love is. Okay, so we put to death presently, and then we put stuff away. Now, that's one of the biggest challenges in daily living, is learning how to put stuff away. How many of you know it's a whole lot easier to take something out than it is to put something away? You ever figure that out for some reason? Go to your house, you got kids. Why is it it's so easy to turn a light on, but so hard to turn the light off? Did you ever try to figure that out? Right? It's really easy to walk into a store. It's really hard to walk out of the store. Especially when you see the sale rack. Really hard. It's hard to put stuff away. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the best person in the world, okay? There are things in my life that need to be put away because they've just been out too long. Oh, Lord. So what kind of things that come out easy but need to be put away? Anger. All right. Paul said, be angry, but don't sin. So that anger is going to come out. That little switch is going to turn on. Maybe I've made you angry today. Learn to turn the switch off. Learn how to turn off anger. How do you turn off anger? Jesus. Oh, Lord, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Okay? Sometimes you need space. That's one of my techniques. Just give me a little time, a little space. Give me a chance. All right? So anger is something you've got to put it away. Don't live in anger. Don't let the switch come on, but never put it off. Wrath. Wrath, I believe, is anger that is expressed in getting somebody. It's wrath. Wrath is when you are so angry that you literally do something about your anger. Right? It's you put that into action. And the devil spewed this flood. That was his wrath. Why? Because it had an action to the anger, and God dealt with that. Okay, then let's see, where is it? Malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Notice that you have to put those away. You've got to put them under cover. Don't let it fly. If you let a bad word fly, get out your gun and shoot it. Knock it out. Don't let it fly. Learn how to turn off the tongue. Turn it off. Just better not say anything. Obscene talk and slander. So obscene is more sexually oriented and inappropriate stuff, whereas slander is more personal. It's a way of expressing wrath, speaking evil of other people. Now, all of this stuff, malice is actually wanting bad things to happen to other folks. Do not lie to one another. Again, that's putting that away, seeing that you have previously put off the old self. So you're dead because you died in Christ. You've got your death certificate. Because you are dead, now you can stop acting that way. You can stop acting that way. Okay? And put on the new self. Clothe yourself with God's new garments, which is being renewed after the image of its creator. Now look, here is not Greek or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Please do not fall for the scam of sectarianism, tribalism, all the other isms. Identifying people by color, identifying people by race, identifying people by gender, identifying people. Just stay away from it. Just stay away from it. Who are you? I am a person whom Jesus loves and died for. That's who I am. So we put on, in verse 12 through 17, we put on these good things. Replace the bad things with the good stuff. Compassion, patience, meekness, humility, kindness, forgiveness. That forgiveness stuff is really hard. Because we love to get, how many of you love to be forgiven? Yeah, I love to get forgiven. But you know, it's a whole lot harder to forgive than it is to be forgiven, man. I tell you, I wish it was just as easy. But it's not. It's harder to forgive than to just be forgiven. So I want to talk about, and we're going to go to Romans 6 now, and we're going to wrap it up in Romans chapter 6. Because we can't really do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. It just can't be done. And one of the things that I feel that we Christians tend to not emphasize enough is the power of the Holy Spirit to live a godly life. That the source of any goodness in us is the Holy Spirit in us. It is by the Holy Spirit that I started praising the Lord. I didn't praise the Lord like that until the Holy Spirit got in me, until Jesus started living in my heart. I just did it. No one told me what I had to do. It just started happening naturally by the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. So too many times we think the way to change is often just filling our head full of knowledge. But we need to fill our head full of the Word and we need to fill our bodies full of the Holy Spirit. You got to have both. You got to drink in the Holy Spirit. You got to receive the Word of God, because the letter could kill you. It will, actually. But the grace of God will empower you with the Holy Spirit. So we're going to look at Romans chapter 6. And this is what I see happening in America. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Never, 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 by no means, are we ever to emphasize grace so much that we don't stop doing hateful things. We can't do that. We cannot justify God's grace to us. Why? Because we got our death certificate. If you've got your death certificate, you've just lost every excuse you have for sin. You just lost every way to excuse all the bad stuff. We got to stop doing it. And that's what he's saying to the Romans. He said, "You look, you've been baptized into his death. We have been baptized into Christ's death. Why? So that we were dead to sin." It says dead to sin. We were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death. That's why you got your death certificate. When you were saved, you died. Into whose death? His death. And it says that we, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, it's a different kind of death. Christ's death was different than just somebody dying. His death was the death of a righteous person so that we could participate with him in death. It says that we shall be united with him in resurrection. We know that our old man, our old humanity, I like to use that word humanity better than the word self. Our old humanity, our psyche, our personalities, we were crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be a slave to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Boy, I have been set free from sin. That is a super powerful statement. Can we say that? Three times? Here we go. I have been set free from sin. Let's do it again. I have been set free from sin. One more time. I have been set free from sin. Because we're dead. We died. And Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Amen. Go on, you go praise the Lord, brother. Now I want you to look at verse 10. For the death he died to sin. In other words, what makes Christ's death different from anybody else? His death was a death to sin. He was the very first person to die to sin. Nobody that died up to that point died to sin. But Jesus died to sin. Because he was the only person completely and totally innocent. He was the spotless Lamb of God. So when he died to sin, so that when we were put in Christ, we died to sin. This is very, very important that we're not, when people die, they don't die to sin just to die. But Jesus died to sin so that we could be also dead to sin. The only way that we can be dead to sin is to be in Christ. There is no other way to be dead to sin. It's impossible. You could die, and if you don't die in Christ, you're not dead to sin. There's only one way to be cut off from sin forever, to be dead to it. And that's by being in Christ, in His crucifixion, in His death. We're dead to sin. It is no longer applying to us. It no longer applies. And it says we're also dead to the law, which is an amazing thing too. But we're going to go over that, okay? We're no longer under it. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So now we are not living to sin anymore. We are alive to God. Having died to sin, we are now alive in Jesus. And that is the heart and soul of what baptism is. It's not just dying. It's not just stopping bad stuff. You hear what I'm saying? It's not just somehow being a better person or somehow improving the way you think or the way you act. That is not it at all. It is a once for all action of dying to sin so that when you get up out of that water, you are alive only to God. Period. You're loving only God. Everything else you hate. Everything doesn't belong to you. It is not under your influence. Everything you love through Christ. I got news for you. She's a much better woman if I love her through Christ. Because I only love one, and that's God. And through Christ, I release my love. She gets a whole lot better deal than if it's just me. Why? Because I'm a new creation, and now everything I do through Jesus. You know, my love is there, and so I'm loving with His love and His power and His anointing and His presence and His glory. I'm alive in Him. Remember, it's to God, from God, through Him. From God, to God, through Him. It's through Christ that we do everything. You need to start seeing yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Reckon it. Think about it. Settle it. Account it up. Start, you know, reckoning means to count it. All right, if I want to reckon how many apples I got in a bag, I'm going to sit there and count them all out. Or I'm going to see what we have. I want to see how much I have before I go shopping. I want to say I got this, 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 and this, and this. Okay, now I know what I have. Now what I know what I need to get because I've counted it all up. And that means there are times when you just have to sit down, come on, stop your busyness, sit down and think about where you're at and what you need and what it's going to take to get you where God wants you to be. Come on now, you need to think about it. We need to slow down sometimes and reckon and consider where we're at so that we can give ourselves a full commitment to Jesus Christ, a full commitment to God, to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Somebody say amen right now. Okay, he says, don't let sin reign. Stop it. Don't let him do it. Sin is ruling because you're allowing it. Now, you can never say that to somebody who is not in Christ. Don't try to do that. Don't try to tell people who don't know Jesus, just try harder. Because it won't work. Just tell them, give up already. And then that way you can really win. You're on the wrong team. You got to think of it that way. You know, they may try to win a little bit, but not in the end. Not in the end. It's when Jesus said in Luke 14, he says, you got to think. Or do you have enough on your side in your army to beat the king with a bigger army? Do you think you can really do that? Right? He said, think about it. Think about whether you've got enough there. Think about whether you've got enough money if you start building a house and you don't have enough money to finish it. I've seen some houses like that in Martinsville, Henry County, where they started the house and it's not even close to being finished. And it sat that way for years. Right? So if you're going to build a house, he says, look, make sure you know you've got what it takes to finish the house. But people don't do that when it comes to God. They try to make their life better, but they realize, come on, in the end, you can't finish it. You may put something in that house. You may get a few things changed in your life, but you better get it in your head that if you really want to finish the job, the only way to finish it is to ask Him to do it. And He'll do it for you, in you, through you. That's the only way you can really finish the job of this life. That's the only way you can really make it. It's the only way you can win. I mean, who wants to play in a losing team? Come on. Who wants to fight a battle knowing you're going to get lose? Nobody wants to go into that knowing they're going to lose. But with God, we win. God has made us more than conquerors through Him who loved us. More than a conqueror, more than a victor, more than the best winner that you got out there. Everybody loves the winners. Don't present your members to sin as instruments, but present yourself to God. That's what worship is all about. Present yourself from God, but not just trying hard, but as someone who's been dead and now is alive. Now I'm giving myself in a new way. In a new way. Where I know I've got everything I need in me to finish the house. I've got everything in me now. I can actually finish the job. I've got enough of the army at my disposal to win the battle. I've got it what it takes. Amen. Praise God. Offer yourself. So, the three things. Consider. Open up your mind to a new way of living. Open it up. Don't just do things the old way. Number two, allow yourself. Allow yourself for God to work in your life. And don't allow others to wreck your life. For what you allow will dominate you. Don't allow stuff. Don't tolerate certain things. Don't tolerate it. Because it will dominate you. It will change the situation. There's certain things in life that if you allow it, it will ruin you. Don't even permit it for one second. That you have to draw the line. And then the last thing it says, offer up yourself to God. What are you dead to? What are you alive to? What are you dead to? What are you alive to? Sin is no longer dominating your life. You are being ruled by grace, not by law. When you're ruled by law, sin will dominate you. But if you're ruled by grace, grace will lift you up out of where you're at. And I'm going to give you one scripture here to end. And I love this scripture. Galatians 6:14. Far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And many times I will confess this. I will say, I am dead to that. I could say a person, situation, whatever I'm at, I'm dead and they're dead to me. They got no power over me, no control over me. I've got nothing. It's all in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. That's all that really matters to me right now. Amen? Praise God. And that's what baptism is all about. And we're going to have some baptisms coming up here. And I want you to explain and understand what that baptism is all about. It's being dead to sin, and now I'm living under grace from now on. And that gives me the choice where I never had choice before. I've actually got choice. I've actually got some choices now I can make. I'm no longer driven to do the wrong thing.
Jubilee, this is the year of Jubilee. Lame now walk, blind now see. This is the year of Jubilee.